Good evening, everybody. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I hope Andrea gave an interesting talk. I'm sure she did. I was leading a retreat on self-compassion in Tacoma, of all places. Actually, not in Tacoma, but on the water nearby at a former convent, now turned into a retreat center. And I got the big promotion that I'm not here. Next week I'm in Costa Rica. So I'll just, drop in from time to time. See how it's going, Actually, the next 2 weeks, week and a half, I'll be in Costa Rica. Just me and Janet. And the birds. We have like a 460 species of birds in our vast country. Costa Rica, which is like the size of Whatcom County or something like that, not too much bigger, has 860 or something like that. Yeah, very diverse. So I'll bring back a report on Costa Rica. So according to the main biography of Dogen, let's continue considering Dogen and his early essay, Bendawa, on the endeavor and the way. Anyway, according to the main biography about him, which is the source of many of the stories about what his life was like and what happened with him. Then this biography was actually written 200 years after he died. So, according to this biography, he had a burning question. Dogen had a burning question in his life and in his practice that inspired him to look beyond his initial training in Tendai Buddhism and beyond Buddhism in Japan altogether. And this was, he's quoted as saying this to himself. Who knows, 200 years later, if he really said this to himself, but he might have. He said, "As I study both the exoteric and esoteric schools of Buddhism, they maintain that human beings are endowed with Dharma nature by birth. If this is the case, why do the Buddhas of all ages, undoubtedly in possession of enlightenment, find it necessary to seek enlightenment by engaging in spiritual practice?" In other words, he'd been taught by his teachers and by the tradition that we're already awake, we're already okay, we have this Buddha nature. Our nature is to be luminous, and open and alive and be okay. So why do we need to practice? And according to the stories, his teachers didn't have a very good answer to that. He felt like he got a little better answer when he transferred from the mountain monasteries on Mount Hiei to the temple Kenninji that had a Zen influence, but not quite a Zen temple yet. And then he went off to China. But it's interesting to think about, like, what's your question, What's your question? Do you have a question about your life? And maybe that question doesn't show up in words. I remember early in my practice, one of the teachers where I was, like, he was big on this idea of having a question. So before, periodically during the practice periods and stuff, he'd invite everybody to come to Dokusan and tell him what your question is. And I'd be so embarrassed, I didn't have a good question, So pretty much, my question, I guess, is I don't know what my question is. And he said, "Well, that's a good question." So Dogen had this question, supposedly. And the conclusion he came to, assuming that was his question, the conclusion he came to is pretty subtle, in the sense that it's hard for our usual kind of discursive thinking minds to hold his answer. Because our discursive mind is kind of like it's either this or it's that, it's better, it's worse, it's good for me, it's bad for me, right? So his answer doesn't really fit in those kinds of categories. To me, Dogen's answer is more like a feeling for our life. And you can't quite explain it. And I'm always wishing that I could rest more fully in this feeling that Dogen brought and offered to us, passed down to us, I guess, in a way, through Suzuki Roshi and Norman and everybody in between. So there's a Japanese teacher, Uchiyama Roshi, who was part of a kind of a little Zazen reform movement in late 19th century and early 20th century Japan. And he ended up having some important American and Japanese students who recorded his talks and wrote them down. So there's a book of commentary called The Wholehearted Way, which is Uchiyama Roshi commenting on this text of Dogen Bendawa. And the Dogen piece we're going to study this weekend at the study seminar, his instructions to the cook, there's also a book about Uchiyama's commentary called Cooking Your Life or something like that. Anyway, here's what Uchiyama Roshi said, at least as they translated it. Dogen Zenji said that to sit in such a way is the true way of enlightenment. To sit in just such a way is the true way of enlightenment. That Zazen itself is enlightenment. Zazen is not a means to gradually attain enlightenment. We sit Zazen, which is dropping off body and mind right now, right here. Practice and enlightenment are not something different. We should not separate practice and enlightenment into two. Since Zazen is itself enlightenment, there is no way to think that I become enlightened as a result of Zazen practice. To sit Zazen is to be in the profound sleep of enlightenment. Turn that over in your mind for a minute. To sit Zazen is to be in the profound sleep of enlightenment. So if you're a little sleepy sometimes during Zazen, this is good. You know? So we're dreaming enlightenment. He goes on. Therefore, to think that I am enlightened is the same as to think that I sleep well within sound sleep. But this is actually sham sleep. These guys are always that way. You think it's this way? Oh, no, it's not that way. It's another way. When we sleep really well, we cannot think that we sleep well. How could you? You know, when you're sleeping well, you don't think, oh, this is good, I'm sleeping well. You're just sleeping, you know? You're just sleeping. In the same way, within Zazen, we cannot see if we are enlightened or not. Sometimes we feel clear in Zazen, sometimes not. Certainly, we don't feel clear more often than not. This is a very, you know, experienced meditator, you know. We don't feel clear more often than not. But in either condition, it's okay. Zazen is Zazen. We sit right in that place where we can look at both enlightenment and delusion equally. Kind of equanimity there. So like so many things in Buddhism, it can be easier to talk about what it's not, you know? So Zen practice, he's saying, is not about fixing us. Like we're not enlightened now and we'll be enlightened later. Like we're broken and we need some repairs. And yet, it's not like there's no enlightenment either. It's just that it can't be sort of grasped onto in that way. It can't be made into an object that we can manipulate and get or hold or use. So this is the Zen of Dogen and Suzuki Roshi and Norman too, I suppose. And there's many different Buddhisms and many different Zens. And probably it is useful to have this concept of awakening or enlightenment. It's probably a useful idea. Kind of more like a lodestar, you know, like the North Star. Like the North Star helps us know which direction we're going, right? But we never have the idea, one day, if I just walk long enough, you know, I'm going to reach the North Star. We don't have that idea. So maybe enlightenment's a little bit more like the North Star. Helps us have direction in our life. But some people see enlightenment as much more directly a particular experience, an important experience that you can have. And there's nothing wrong with that either. And this debate has been going on forever, thousands of years. Sometimes they call it the debate between sudden and gradual enlightenment, which is a little bit simplistic, but more or less we're a gradual school, if you haven't figured that out yet. Very gradual, you know. So gradual, you can't tell that there's anything graduating yet. But the other school is wonderful too, and this debate goes on. Just the other day on Facebook, the debate continued. A teacher I know and like named James Ford posted a kind of provocative article saying, big mistake to let enlightenment drop out of Zen. Zen is all about awakening. So, you know, basically, you fools that are dropping it out, you know, it's really bad. Here's a little part of his article. In the Western Zen scene today, words like enlightenment, Kensho, and Satori have been pushed to the background. Any emphasis on the experience of awakening has been minimized. There are reasons for this, and I think some of them are legitimate. However, that acknowledged, the great project of Zen is nothing less than awakening. And sliding over that and shifting the point to something else is making a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake, he says. And, of course, I couldn't help it. I joined the conversation, several of my colleagues, and it's not like we're ever going to figure anything out on Facebook, you know, whether it's politics or enlightenment, but still we have to try, you know. It was mostly pretty respectful. But later I got a private message from another Zen teacher saying, I saw that thing you posted on there, and I think you just didn't get it. You know, I didn't get what James was trying to say there, you know. I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you for telling me. But I also agreed, of course, with what James was saying. The project of Zen is the project of awakening. But the devil's in the details, you know, and in the spirit. And love is in the spirit, too. So let's go back to Dogen himself. How does Dogen try to express this? I was trying to make sense of the last four or five paragraphs, which kind of bend over and through themselves and repeat themselves a lot. So what I decided to do was just kind of pick out a few different expressions from the last several paragraphs of Bendawa and read you what Dogen wrote and comment a little bit. So this is not even in order, and it's, you know, excerpted. It's not the whole thing that he wrote. So Dogen wrote, "The mind of the person seated in Zazen and the enlightenment all around enter realization and leave realization within the stillness of samadhi as it occurs within Jijuyu samadhi. And this does not disturb a single mote of dust. The mind of the person seated in Zazen and the environment all around enter realization and leave realization within stillness, within the stillness of samadhi, within the sphere of Jijuyu samadhi." Remember that self, kind of, the enlightenment that takes care of itself, the joyful enlightenment that takes care of itself is Dogen's enlightenment. So we don't have to kind of make it happen. It takes care of itself. But the beautiful thing in this expression, I think, is this sense of no resistance, you know? We move into realization, out of realization, and nothing's disturbed, not even the dust, you know? We're so graceful, and we're so relaxed about it. It's not a big problem for us if one moment we feel more deluded, and another moment we feel more enlightened. And there's a powerful sense of harmony, that this is profound and important, but it's also not a big deal. Whatever this realization, awakening, enlightenment is, it's quiet.